Hello everybody, it's Tani here. Welcome to week six, the final week of our course. I absolutely cannot believe it, that how the time has passed so incredibly quickly. Thank you to those of you who are joining us today live, and also a big welcome to those of you who are listening to this on the recording. Hopefully by now everyone has been able to at least participate in some of the calls live or on the follow-up calls, because those of you who have really probably know how much extra benefit you're getting out of being able to connect with the other women in the group. And there's something about doing processes live that I sometimes think helps us to focus a little bit more, because we really know that it's in real time. So I really want to acknowledge those of you who have made it every week onto the call, and also to just express that I understand, for those of you who haven't been able to, that there's been reasons in your life, things have come up, and I know that you are all committed to this learning, that you have actually made time in your life to listen to the recording, which is not an easy thing to do. It's kind of easier to turn up for a scheduled class. It's actually quite hard to find 2 hours for something that's not scheduled. So I really also want to acknowledge those of you who found the time to listen to the recording. So thank you all so much for all of your commitment. And I also wanted to just say a quick note of thanks to those of you who were on the call last week for all the love and support that I got from you, because, you know, I was quite injured and it wasn't coping that well, struggling, and it was really, really just lovely to have so much support from the people on the call, and it was incredibly instructive for me, because I really got to see very clearly how when our bodies are not free, it's very hard to express ourselves freely. Our highest intelligence can't come through, and I'm someone who speaks very, very effortlessly, but I could still notice that in that week when my body was in a lot of pain, I was struggling. I wasn't speaking nearly as freely as usual. I was having to glance down at my roadmap a lot more than I normally do. I was losing my train of thought. I was finding it harder to stay in my heart. Now, because I have so much experience, it may be that wasn't apparent to you, but I could feel it within myself, the difference in the level of ease. Whereas normally when my body's very free, I, as a being, am very free, and so the two are very closely connected. So when my body is very centered, then I, as a being, am very centered. And when my body is free and able to respond to anything that comes at me, I can roll, I can jump, I can squat, I can move, I can reach, I can twist freely, then I can respond. My being can respond to anything that comes at me, and I can react in any way. And I really noticed that when my body was in pain and restricted, I found it much harder to roll with the punches, not just when I was speaking, but generally in everything during the week. So it was a really powerful learning of the things that I've been teaching. So I was kind of grateful for it. It really helped me see how true it is. So today we are going to be going into some very powerful topics, because it is the final week. Before we go into that, I just want to check you can all hear me okay. So those of you who are on the call live, if you can hear me fairly well, press 1. If I'm sounding really distorted or blurry, press 2 and I'll dial back in. Ooh, lots of 1s coming up. That's great. Isn't Skype amazing? Fantastic. Okay, I'm taking the hands down. That's great. So today we're going to be looking at two things. We're going to be looking at really speaking from a higher place, from our highest guidance, from our higher self, which I know is something that some of you are very familiar with and others maybe aren't familiar with. So we're going to be looking at that. We're also going to be looking a little bit at audience, managing the energy of an audience, looking at audience energetics, because I know that's something that is a major issue for a lot of speakers, particularly speakers such as us who are sensitive to energy. And the audience energetic stuff is stuff that I go into in much greater detail in the coaching groups, small groups that we're going to be running after this. But I just want to touch on it today just so you get a sense of what's possible, and for those of you who aren't continuing on, so that you'll have some strategies. So yeah, I know last week I said I wasn't sure if I was going to be running coaching groups this time, because I did. The first time I ran the course, I ran the groups. The second time I ran the course, I was going overseas, so I didn't run the groups. And this time I'm not sure where I'm going or what I'm doing, because there's a possibility I'm going overseas. But I've realized that I will be here for the next 8 weeks, so I've decided to run the groups because there's been so much interest. So I'll tell you a bit more about those later in the course, later in the class today. But basically, I think we're going to run groups of about 3 or 4 people, so you'll get to work really, really in-depth. You'll get to know each other really. I'll get to work very closely with you. And I've actually decided this time to do it by video. which I think will make it even more powerful. I mean, the groups last year were incredibly powerful. But working with video, I think, is going to be amazing because all four of us will be able to see each other. And particularly if we're doing anything to do with the body or how we hold ourselves, we'll be able to really see what everyone's doing and really work on that. But even for the heart processes, the energy processes, the managing audience energetics, managing expectations, dealing with content and planning, and just all the many, many different aspects of speaking that we'll be looking at, I think being able to see each other's faces will just add a whole different level of connection and power to what we're doing. So I'm really excited about that. I didn't try that last year. And so anyway, I'll tell you a bit more about that later in the class. So before we move into today's content, we are going to do a little meditation, but I think I'm going to save it for a little bit later in the class. So what I want to do now is just to take a moment just to help us all arrive onto the call, because we'll do the meditation a little bit later. So everyone, just take a moment to close your eyes. Just let your body come to sitting somewhere comfortably. And just start by taking a nice deep breath in. And then exhaling. And then we'll do that again, breathing in. And as you exhale, let go of everything that's been rushing around your mind for the last few hours. Whether it's first thing in the morning or late at night for you. And we'll do one last big breath in. And as you breathe out, just letting go of everything that's been occupying your mind. Letting it fall away as if it's washed off by water. And then just start to notice your body and how you're sitting in your chair, the weight of your 2 feet, the weight of your 2 sit bones, your buttocks, the weight of your 2 arms, the weight of your head on your spine. Just getting really present in your body. And then bring your attention into the center of your chest, into your heart space. And just take a couple of breaths, breathing in the love from all the other women who are in this class, whether they're on the call live or they're listening to the recording. So as you breathe in, just breathing in the love from the other women. And as you breathe out, breathing some love out to each of them, whether you've worked with them in the course personally in small groups, or whether you've seen them on the Facebook group, or whether you just know that they're there even though you haven't had any personal interaction with them, you can still feel their energy. So as you breathe in, breathing the love in from the other women, feeling your heart expand, feeling your chest expand, and then breathing out, sending them some love, knowing that they're breathing that in. And just notice the feeling of expansion that starts to happen as you're breathing all this love in. Maybe you sense some lightness or some groundedness come in. And then let that fall away and just know that that energy is still there on the call. You can tap into it at any minute, any moment as we go along, and you'll particularly feel it when we're working in the small groups later. It's really nice to connect everyone like that at the beginning because we are going to be doing some very powerful work today. So before we move into the content for this week, I'd just like to take a couple of minutes to do a bit of a debrief on last week, particularly because in the Wednesday session we ran out of time and didn't get to hear from everybody. So, and some of you weren't on that session, you just listened to the recording. So I just want to ask 2 or 3 people to share how you found last week when we did the planning from the heart, where we looked at planning in a new way, centering yourself, connecting to your heart, setting your intention, and then planning from that space, and then giving a talk just with this very brief roadmap that you weren't tied to, but that was just there as a bit of a backup. So I'd love to hear from a couple of people about that process, or maybe what you've been noticing during the week. I know there's been some of you who've had a chance to do some speaking, whether it was with family or in public. I'd really love for you to share what you've been noticing in light of everything we've been doing about speaking from the heart, planning, setting intentions, and all the different things we've been talking about. So if you've got anything you'd like to share, whether it was about last week's learnings or the processes you've noticed during the week, press 1 on your phone and I'll pass you the mic. I'm going to start with Lyndon because she's pressed 1.
Oh.
Go ahead, Lynn. You're on.
No, I you mustn't have taken my hand down, or I, yes.
Oh.
But okay. That's all right. I'll speak from my heart. That's okay. look, I haven't had any big whammy sort of thing this week, but it's just been I'm always making sure that when I'm talking to people in just generally in my daily life, is that I really am just much more focused on my intent and what the outcome it is for their highest good sort of thing, rather than being just noticing that really big shift generally with how I'm feeling and how I'm relating. So there's been no big whammy, but it's just been a really, it's a really lovely space to come from, and I feel like I'm home, which is lovely.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, that's a very big shift. Thank you so much for sharing that. I'm going to now pass to Heidi. Go ahead, Heidi.
Hello, everyone. So let's see. This week, I'm intensely preparing for a conscious evolution retreat, which I'm giving this weekend. And in the past, I would say that, I'm preparing pretty much the same way that I always do. In the past, my body usually breaks down rather severely by the end of it. I have noticed tension starting to build up in my body. It's almost like it remembers, oh, this is what happens every year, so I might as well start getting into it. So I started doing some of the Feldenkrais movements that you instructed us with, and you know what I love about those is the subtlety of them. I don't think I've ever... I like stretching and I like yoga, but, those are big movements, and they can even be somewhat forceful. And the Feldenkrais movements, with at least the stress that you've put on them, is to make them very subtle. And so I've been working with my shoulders and my lower back using the very, very subtle movements, and I love the way that works on me. It really works well. The other thing I've been doing is, I have been feeling a bit more relaxed about the retreat, in the sense that I'm not planning every word. It's like I don't need to. I've been doing this for 30 years. so I don't know why I have continued to do that all these years. But this year I'm not going to. I'm just not going to plan every word. I've planned my basic categories and, the basic shifts that I want to bring the group through at different times during the day. And I'm just going to go with that. Jan's working on that with me, and she's also using that technique and feeling good about it. The other thing is that... usually when I do these retreats, I set my intentions pretty much just by myself, but this time our whole group, that's me and Jan and three other adults, we're really doing the whole intention setting thing together, using the format that you suggested, which is, how do you want to feel and what do you want to get out of it? Also, how do you want your group to feel, and what do you want them to get out of it? And I'm feeling like those three things, the Feldenkrais and the going with the general planning rather than the super specific planning, and the group intention setting, is it's just setting a really nice tone. I'm feeling better going into this retreat than I have in the past.
Wonderful, Heidi. Thank you for sharing that. That's huge. And I want to speak to a few of the things you said. The first thing is, the last thing you said in terms of setting your intention as a group, actually it's funny because today I'm going to be looking at audience energetics, and one of the things I'm going to talk about is creating a sacred space or holding space. And I tend to do that when I set up my space with the people who are going to be holding space with me, whether they're the organizers of the event or people I've asked to help me hold space. We always set our intention together at the start. So I'm really, really excited that you guys have come to that intuitively. It's a very powerful thing to do for everyone else listening, if you're ever running a retreat or a workshop and you're not the only person involved. If you all get together at the beginning and go around the circle and set your intention for the event together, it's very powerful. It creates a very powerful container. And then everyone is working together towards that. So really great that you guys did that. I'm also really excited for you, Heidi, because I know that you have 30 years of knowledge, so you don't need to worry about the content. And once you really trust that, you only need your roadmap. You don't need to plan everything. Once you do that once, even probably just the first day, by the end of the first day, you will have such a level of trust in yourself because you'll realize how much you know. Because I know that after teaching something for 30 years, you must have so much deep, deep knowledge. And to allow yourself to really feel that and trust that and not have to worry in advance to plan at all is going to be a huge shift for you. And I'm really excited. I can't wait to hear about it after it happens. It's interesting timing that this course is finishing just in time for that. So that's wonderful. And the last thing I wanted to say is about the Feldenkrais. I've had a lot of comments from all of you about that, and I'm very aware that I've only sent you one lesson to do, and there are over 1,000 different lessons, and they're all incredibly powerful and subtle. So what I'm thinking I might do is last year, after my second Whole Woman Speaking Course last year, I was able to offer the women a 10-week series of Feldenkrais classes that I was doing online, teleclasses, and they went down really well, and they were all very gentle lessons that built one on top of the other. And by the end of it, the participants had a library of about 10 really powerful, fundamental, very subtle, gentle lessons that helped free their spine, their neck, their hips, their shoulders, the whole body by the end of the 10 weeks. So I actually have those on recording, so I'm thinking what I might do is put them together onto a page on my website, into a package, and offer them to you guys at a really, you know, easily affordable price. So I just want to make sure that those of you who want to continue have some lessons to do. And I think 10 lessons is a good number because it means you can do them over a period of one or two a week, and, you know, it'll keep you going for a couple of months. And then at the end of that, if you really, really still want to get some more content, just get in touch with me and I can give you some more. I mean, I have many, many lessons I've recorded. The reason I'm thinking of these 10 as opposed to the 5 I just taught in my recent term is that the 10 I taught last year really are a beautiful sequence that build one on top of the other, whereas the 5 I did this year are kind of all disparate, separate classes. So I think my intuition's telling me to send those ones to you. So I'm just making a note of that, 10 lessons from last year. I'll make them like only $10 each or something. I'll make them cheap. Normally they're $25 a session for people to do. So I'll make it easy so that you can all have those. And then you can have them and you can do them over and over again because they really do all look at different movement patterns. And as Heidi said, they are very subtle and it's not just the way I teach. The method is I do emphasize that, but the method is designed as a learning system, not a pushing yourself, stretching system. So in order for our brains to learn, the movements need to be very subtle and gentle because it's in the detail that the brain learns. It's not in the big, huge pushing movements. And in fact, when we push our body and impose our willpower on our body, we tend to stop learning because our body goes into resistance and fight and we're battling against ourselves to stretch. Whereas when you stay in a range of movement that's very effortless and gentle and small, your body and your brain are in a very, very high state of learning. And that's why at the end of the 60 minutes or the 45 minutes, you stand up and you're completely transformed. Whereas if you'd stretched and pushed for the whole hour, you wouldn't have changed so much or gone so far. So it's a hard habit to break when people first start doing that work, to shift from the no pain, no gain, I have to push, I have to impose my willpower onto my body and make it do this and make it do that. It's really hard. It took me a long time to shift that, so I really, really know how hard it is. But once you make that shift, and it sounds like Heidi has made that, and I think it's easier for people in pain to make that shift because if you do it big, you hurt yourself, so you have to do it small. But people who aren't in pain, once you make that shift and start to do the lessons really, really subtly and gently, you will just see that the more subtly you do them, the more profound the transformation is. And in fact, when I teach classes live in workshops and stuff, the only difference between the advanced Feldenkrais students who've done many years or who are practitioners of Feldenkrais and the beginners is that the advanced people do it much smaller, much slower, and they take much more rest. And that's the irony. It's the beginners who are doing these huge movements. So it's really funny. But anyway, so thanks for bringing that up, Heidi. It's absolutely going to help you with the keeping the pain levels down. And I would just pay attention to, and this is the same for everyone else as well, when you're going through a process of preparing for something that you are stressed about, or when you're about to walk into an encounter with your family, or when you're about to go on stage, if it is something that in the past has scared you or has created pain in your body, just start to pay attention to at what point those patterns kick in. So with Heidi, I would say, notice at what point your body starts to tense up. Was there a particular thought you were having just before then? Was there something you were feeling just before then? Was it an old thinking pattern that you were running? Or, you know, there will be something that's triggering your body's response. And if you start to listen for that, once you hear it, it'll be very easy to let it go. So, for example, I started to notice a couple of years ago that every time I was about to see my sister, my back would hurt because she'd been someone I had lots of struggles with. And I'd never noticed that before. And once I realized that, I started noticing, well, at what point does it start to hurt? And I started to realize it was as soon as I started thinking about seeing her that it started to hurt. It wasn't when I got in the car. You know, and then I started playing with that. And in the moment where I noticed it, I'd go, okay, let those muscles go. Or I'd roll around on the floor and do a bit of Feldy or something. And then I was able to catch it and undo that pattern. But if we don't notice it, we can't undo it. So this is a real opportunity for you, Heidi, and for the others listening. Now you have starting to develop some more subtle body awareness. You can start to just listen for that. When is the moment when things start to tense up in my body? And what was I doing just at that moment? It'll usually be something you're thinking. And you're bracing your body in response to it. So I'm just going to offer that to everyone. I think that'll make a huge difference for people. Is that helpful, Heidi?
Yes. And I actually do practice that. And that's kind of what I meant, actually, when I was speaking earlier, is that my body is already starting to develop the symptoms, the stress in my shoulders and lower back, that usually accelerates into a total breakdown by the end of these retreats. And I was noticing that today, and I said, okay, I'm just going to stop. I was in the middle of preparing materials, and so I went and laid down on my yoga mat and just did these very, very subtle little motions to release my lower back and then my shoulders and then my neck. And it only took about 20 minutes, and I felt so much better. And in the past, what I've tried to do is more like yoga. But these tiny little repetitive motions, and I tend to use my breath with them too, they just work beautifully.
Wonderful. That's exactly what I would suggest you do. So keep doing that. That's exactly what you need to do. Notice it and then take a moment to break the pattern by doing something small and subtle that will, you know, retrain your brain in those moments. That's brilliant. So if everyone else could start to play with that as well, I think you'll all see huge, huge changes. Some of you, it'll be more obvious because you tend to suffer pain, and pain is really obvious to notice. But for others, those of you who don't have pain, you may still notice that there's certain times where your body tenses up, where your breathing tenses, or where you start to brace yourself, or you get a little bit stiffer. And that's not as easy to notice as pain, but I just want to invite you guys to start noticing that, because it's really powerful. Once you start to notice it, you'll start to see the patterns in your thinking that are creating it, and you'll be able to get on the floor and roll around in a few minutes and free it up and break that pattern. That's brilliant. So thank you so much, Heidi. That was a really big one, I think. We've all learned a lot. I'm going to pass now to Beth. Go ahead.
Hello. Hi. I'd start by saying thank you to Heidi for that. That was fantastic. And I'm very excited too, the idea that she's got 30 years of wisdom there and that 30 years of roadmap this time is really exciting. But what I wanted to talk about, I love the roadmap thing, by the way. That's just been fantastic for writing as well. And I just wanted to mention that I went to a large party, a 50th birthday party on the weekend, and I wasn't thinking about what we'd learnt, but obviously it had gone in, and I was surprised a couple of times when I'd have what to me didn't seem very, you know, deep conversations, and then afterwards the woman whose party it was would say, oh, have you met so-and-so, and she'd say, oh, yes, we've just had a very deep conversation. And it got me thinking about it afterwards, and that whole idea of sort of that people remember how you made them feel rather than what you said, and that thing about listening from the heart and just reflecting back in a slightly different way what they've said can be very profound for people. So I didn't actually feel like I'd said anything, yet these people were quite sort of, you know, moved by what I said or remembered what I'd said. So I thought that was something that came out of the class too.
Oh yeah, that's a huge one. That's a really big one, because as we noticed when we listened to everyone talk, when we did the speaking from the head, speaking from the heart, when people are speaking from their heart, it lands so much more powerfully with you. It's so much more memorable. It doesn't even matter what they're talking about. You can feel them. And all people want is to connect. When you're standing in front of an audience, it doesn't matter what you tell them. I mean, obviously, you know, you're trying to tell them some content that's transformational, but the most important thing in most situations is people want to feel heard, they want to feel witnessed, they want to feel seen, they want to feel loved, they want to feel a connection to another person's heart. And if you can provide them that, that is going to be memorable. That's going to have a transformative effect for them. And if on top of that, the content you're saying is incredibly powerful, then obviously that's going to be even more powerful. But even if you're just making chit-chat and you're just talking about the day that you've had or what you've seen on television, and you do it from a place of heart-centered connectedness, connected to your own self, connected to them, that you're really listening, you're really present, you're not off in your head thinking, analyzing, comparing, they feel that. And I'm so glad Beth brought that up, because it's absolutely the case, and it's going to start happening in all your conversations, not just your public speaking stuff. So beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. I'm going to pass to you. We've got two more people, Heather and Marion, and then we're going to move on. So go ahead, Heather. Heather, are you there?
Hi, I had to take the microphone off mute.
That's okay.
Hello, everyone. I've had a week that has been a little bit tense and stressful, and I haven't had an opportunity to practice any Feldenkrais techniques, but they sound really, really good. And I think I've learned a lot from how I feel, how my body reacts when I'm stressed, and the triggers that are making my body react in that way. And I've been more conscious of how my thought patterns are linked to my body. So I think it's definitely a bit of an awakening for me that I probably don't have to go through life always stressing about things or kind of having my mind racing so that I can get my thoughts across to people. I can probably try and go with the flow more, and life will probably be just a lot easier. So that's my learning experience for the week, and it sounds quite similar to everyone on the course, I think. So it's a good thing.
Sorry, I was on mute. Yes, that's a huge thing, letting go of the struggle of life and starting to realize how we are a psychosomatic unit. Our body, our heart, our mind, they're all connected. And if you can get your body centered and free, then everything else flows really easily. Get out of the head. It's the head that tends to keep us in a state of stress. So beautiful. That's really what it's all about, Heather. That's great. And pass to Marion. Go ahead.
Okay. Hi, everybody. I just wanted to share that that little phrase of yours, the person's best and highest good, has had a profound impact on me. And one thing that I am dealing with is one of my boys, he's 16, he's got chronic pain, and he's had it for 10 years. And, you know, I do pretty good with it, but on the days when he's not feeling well, he's home from school, sometimes that can really affect me. And that's just really helped me a lot to be intentional and thinking, like, you know, I don't really know what his best and highest good is, and so we're just going to, you know, radically accept the situation, which I have been trying to do all along, but this has just really helped a lot. And one other thing is that I find when I'm out and about, I'm just much more myself, like just really putting myself out there and making conversations with all kinds of people that I normally wouldn't have. So thank you, Tawny, and everyone.
Thanks so much, Marion. That's really profound, because, you know, a lot of the skills that we're learning in this course aren't really about speaking. I mean, teaching in the context of speaking, but setting an intention, connecting to someone's highest good, surrendering, going with the flow, being connected to yourself, being present, they're all skills that we need to have in all situations in our life, not just in speaking. But if we bring them to speaking, then speaking becomes really easy. Just like if we bring them to everything, everything becomes easy. So it's just a wonderful to hear an example of someone really focusing on the highest good, because, you know, when we start to focus on that, we're much less attached to what's going on in a situation, because we don't always know what the highest good of the person is. And just if I can say a couple of words to you, Marian, you know, I suffered from 10 years of chronic pain, 24 hours a day, debilitating, couldn't get out of bed kind of pain like your son is in. And it was the greatest gift of my life. It forced me to completely take responsibility for my whole life, look at all my patterns, completely relearn how to move through Feldenkrais, totally relearn all my patterns of thinking and change all my family dynamics. And it was the biggest gift I had. So, you know, you just don't know. You just don't know where it's going to lead, what sort of path of growth it's going to lead to. And I really hope that, I know there's a gift in it for your son, because there always is. And I'm really glad that you're focusing on it that way, because otherwise we get so lost in the outer symptoms and trying to battle with them that we don't often see the bigger picture, and that this is a choice on a certain level and there's going to be a huge learning out of it. So glad that that's landing for you, Marian. That's beautiful. So thank you, everyone who shared. Really, thank you, because, you know, this course is about speaking and it is about sharing, and a lot of the learning comes out of my responses to your sharings, because I'm a manifesting generator, for those of you who know about the human design system, so I tend to operate best in response rather than initiation. So it's always great for me when people share stuff, because often in my response to that, things will come out of my mouth that I hadn't planned to share and that might be of great value to people. So that's really important. So I just want to talk briefly before we get into some processes today about this idea of managing the energetics of an audience. As I said, we will be looking a lot more at that in small coaching groups, but I want to just talk a little bit about it. So one of the things I wanted to talk about is when you are, particularly when you're speaking in front of an audience, when you're on stage, this is going to be much more useful and noticeable than when you're speaking in front of just one person. But even in front of one person, this is still going to be helpful. But what I'm talking about is monitoring the energy in the room. So when we speak, sometimes we can be so in our head and thinking about what we're saying. How am I saying it? Did I say the right words? What did I wear? Are they all staring at me? Do I look fat? Oh, no, I just messed that up. Oh, I skipped that bit. Oh, what's coming next? We're so in our head that we have no space left in our brain to notice what's going on in the room. When we're speaking from our heart and our head is quite quiet, as you've experienced in those times where we've been doing exercises and speaking from the heart, then your mind is free to be the observer, because it's not busy running around with thinking, criticizing, analyzing, torturing yourself and judging yourself for how badly you're doing. Your mind is quite blank and therefore it's freed up to observe. And when you're in that state, you're speaking from your heart, but there's your higher awareness of just observing the room, you start to notice things happening. So let's say, for example, you're speaking on stage. We were talking last week with Petra, and I have been involved with something called the Changing the Dream Symposium, the Awakening the Dreamer Changing the Dream Symposium. And I know some of you know about this too. It's run by the Pachamama Alliance. And so I facilitated this symposium in front of many, many different groups. And I really started to learn about audience energetics because the symposium is delivered with two presenters. And so there's often long chunks of time where the other presenter is speaking. And my job is just to sit on stage with them and basically hold the space. And then later it's my turn to speak and they sit on stage and hold the space because we're sitting on stage side by side. And what I started to do was I'd have these like 10-minute stretches, 20-minute stretches, 30-minute stretches over the course of the day where I wasn't speaking. I was just sitting on stage. And instead of spending that 20 minutes looking through my notes like everyone else did when they weren't speaking, I started watching the audience. And I watched them every time I did this. And I started to notice some powerful things happening in the audience energetically while the presenter, my fellow presenter, was speaking. And it was quite amazing to watch. So, for example, there's often a powerful personality in an audience, often several powerful personalities. And what happens is, as they have a particular emotional response, they affect everyone else around them. So there was one symposium where we were doing a particularly powerful process on grief about what's happening to the planet. And I would see one person start to cry, And then the person next to them on either side would start to cry. And then the people next to them on either side would start to cry. And pretty soon that whole row was crying, but no one else. And I thought, how interesting, that first person had a very powerful energy because they've affected everyone next to them. And then there were other times where I'd see kind of like dead pockets in the room. One person was starting to slump. Their energy was flagging. And then the person next to them, they started to slump. And you could literally see them like dominoes, one after the other, start to slump. And then there was one symposium where I saw one person fall asleep, the person next to her fell asleep, and the person on the other side said to fall asleep. And it was just extraordinary. And then there's sometimes where you see one person gets really animated and excited and their face comes alive and they're really listening intently, all the people around them wake up. So those sorts of things, when you're in observer mode, and now I actually observe this when I'm speaking, not just when I'm sitting on stage. I've trained myself that when I'm on stage, I start observing what's happening in the audience while I'm speaking, because my mind is not used up on worrying, thinking. My mind is quite free, and I'm speaking from my heart, but just a part of my awareness is noticing the energy, and it becomes automatic. And so if there's a pocket of people in the room that are starting to slump and flag, I just direct a little bit more energy towards them as I'm speaking. I might lift my energy a bit, get a bit more animated, smile a bit more, say something funny. And it's not a strategy. It's just I'm connected to the energy in the room. So automatically, I start to lift my energy and theirs starts to lift. Or if I see, you know, sense a pocket of people starting to get connected to grief, maybe I'll go with them. Maybe I'll get into more of an empathic tone in my voice. Maybe I'll bring the whole room into that state. Or maybe I'll, you know, shift my energy so they snap out of it. There's many, many responses you can choose, but you can't choose them if you're not aware of what's going on. But particularly audience energy that is negative, so some people are starting to get cynical or disconnect, or their minds are wandering, or they've gone into their heads and they're judging you or getting critical. Or when people start to lose energy and flag and fall asleep, those are the ones you really want to be able to notice, because you can really turn those around. We did a process last year in the small groups about that, and about how even if you encountered some people in the audience who were really, really cynical and judgmental and sending you really yucky energy, there are processes you can do to really turn them around and bring them into their hearts. That's the sort of thing we'll look at. Techniques for doing that, but I just want to let you know that the first step is noticing what's happening. If you're so in your head and worrying about your content that you don't notice what's happening in the room, then you have no ability to affect the energy or to manage or monitor the energy. And so that's a really, really powerful thing that you don't normally get taught in speaking courses, because normally it's all about you, what you're saying, your gestures. This is really about really noticing. So I'm just going to invite you all over the next week to start noticing the energy of groups. So for example, maybe you're at a wedding and someone stands up to give a speech. You're not the speaker, so you're free to watch. Just watch around the room how people respond. Some people have very, very active ways of responding. They smile, they nod. Some people are really passive. They don't give anything away in their facial expression. And I should share with you that early in my days as a presenter, particularly when I was presenting Feldenkrais workshops, at the beginning I would always give an introductory talk. And I remember this one of the very first ones I ever did, and I was really nervous. I didn't know how it was going to go down. They were a conservative audience, sort of alternative staff, and I was talking about it, and they were just staring at me blankly. Not one person was smiling at me or nodding or engaging with me in any way. All their faces were blank, their eyes were blank, and I was just like talking, and I was just like sinking as I was talking. I was like, these people aren't getting this. I was making myself more animated, I was doing everything I could. And I was like so frustrating. I thought, like, I just cannot get through to these people. But you know what was interesting? At the end, they all came up to me and said, that was so wonderful, thank you so much. And I realized that the cues are not always going to be visual. Not everyone is visually expressive with their face. So you have to start to sense what's actually going on in the room. You know, not everyone's going to be smiling and nodding, but they may be very intently listening. They may be very connected to what you're saying, but they're just not an extroverted personality, so they don't display it in their facial expressions. And when we're in our head, which I obviously was that day, this was many years ago, but I remember it distinctly, my head started interpreting all this blank faces as, oh my God, I'm doing a terrible job, and this stuff is too alternative for them, and they hate me, and all. Which was not the case. It was just my head. But when we're out of our head, then we can just feel. And I know now that if I was in a room like that, I would be feeling how intently they were listening. I wouldn't be so dependent on just my visual cues, and I wouldn't be having the self-judging chatter going through my mind. So your sort of your homework for this week is to notice if you're at a wedding and someone gives a speech, just to watch how people respond. If you're at the dinner table and someone else is talking other than you, is a really good chance to notice the different energy. And just any chance you get, particularly when you're not the one speaking, it's much easier to observe. Later on, once you're used to observing this, then you'll be able to do it while you're speaking. You'll be able to see how your words are landing with different pockets of the room. You'll start to be able to play with where you direct your energy, to which people and in what way. So that's just a little bit of a basic touching on that, so you can start to at least play with it and notice it. I also want to talk about the importance of having people there to hold the space, particularly when you are running, you know, a public event like a workshop or a retreat. I'm sure Heidi already has this in place. She's been running them for years. But those of you who are new to running your own workshops or retreats, what I learned early on through doing that symposium that I was talking about, and I now do this in all my workshops and events, is I always have people there with me to hold the space. And so what that means is there's a team, even if it's only me and one friend, or it might be me and five other people, or it might be me and the venue manager and the product in the event organizer or the person up front of house who's doing the cash or whatever, it doesn't matter. And at the start, before the event, we all get together and we sit in a circle and we create our intention for the event, and we each weave a strand of the intention together, and we keep going around, or we each speak until we're complete, and then the next person speaks until they're complete. Whatever way we do it, we basically go around the circle and weave this intention together, and it creates a very powerful group container for the day or the weekend. And then at the end, we always get together in a circle and debrief on what happened. Go around the circle and really check in with each person, even if they were just doing catering, it doesn't matter. They're part of the energy of the event. It's not just about the speaker. And then we debrief, how did everyone feel? What happened for them? You know, were there any learnings for them? Were they happy with how the event went? And so there's a really sort of a beginning and a closing of this group intention. And then when the event is running, if you can have those people, or at least a couple of them, assigned to hold the space with you while you're delivering your content, it makes a huge difference. You might have one person at the back of each side of the room and one person on the sides, so you've got four people, or you might just want one at the back and you're at the front. If you've only got one person, that's fine. You can be at the front, they can be at the back. And you're all facing the audience. So even if you have one person or five people, it doesn't matter. You're all facing the audience. And between you, you're containing the energy in the space. And it means that they can be watching the audience to monitor the energy. So that if you do get distracted with what you're saying, there is at least someone in the room, or one or two people in the room, whose job is to hold the space. And it doesn't mean they just stand there and think about their life and imagine the next date with their boyfriend. They're actually present for that hour or the day or the 2 days, whatever it is, or however long they're standing there, they're present, or they're sitting there. They're actually focusing not so much on your content, but they're focusing on how it's landing for the audience. They're with them. They're supporting those people through the process. If some people are starting to flag and get tired, they'll send them energy to lift them. If some people are starting to get really sad, they'll come over and bring them tissues, or they'll send them love and joy to support them. And it's amazing what it does. And I really noticed, I used to think, oh, does it really do anything? But then one day I was running one of those symposiums, and the people that I had assigned to be my space holders with me, a couple of them just started deciding that they wanted to slip out the back and get something to eat and have a conversation with someone. They were coming in and out instead of standing there and focusing on the audience. And it was so hard for me, that symposium. I found it so hard to keep the audience engaged in what I was saying, because the energy kept being broken each time one of these people would leave the room, break the whole container we'd created. The audience was getting very distracted. They weren't getting distracted by the noise. These people were very silently slipping out of the room. It wasn't that no one even could hear them leave. It was just the energy got broken each time. And then at the interval, I sort of said, hey, guys, if you're going to be space holders, I need you to be space holders. You've got to be present for these people. You've got to be witnessing them, observing them. And the difference in the second half of the day was dramatic. Things were landing much more powerfully with people. It was so much less stressful for me because I didn't now have to carry the burden of monitoring the energy for everybody. I could do my bit, but trust that there were three or four other people in the room who were also doing that, and that freed me up a lot. So for a big group, if you've got a large number of people and it's, you know, a full-day workshop or 2 days, just invite a couple of people to be space holders for you. You'll see it will make a huge difference. Obviously, if it's a small group, you can manage it by yourself, or if it's a short workshop. And if it's a big thing, you can probably still manage it by yourself. But if you can have some people there to help you hold the space, or if you do have a team like caterers or event managers, bring them into this. Give them this role, and you'll see they'll thrive on it. It's actually a very important role. I just wanted to talk about that a little bit. And I wanted to talk also about how when you are speaking to an audience, when you talk to them, I know a lot of you have probably studied public speaking and been told about eye contact. It is very important to have eye contact with your audience, but the reason why it's important is not the reason that you're normally told. It's about creating a heart connection with each individual person. And so when you're standing on stage speaking, as you're making eye contact with someone or with a section of the room, if you really have your heart open, you're connecting to those people. It's like you're creating an energetic loop between yourself and the audience. And then as you focus your gaze on another part of the room and your eyes land on a few other people, you really feel like you're connecting heart to heart with them. You start to bring them into this energetic loop. And then as your eyes meet the next lot of people and land on a few people's faces, you're bringing them into this energetic loop. And if you feel it as a heart connection rather than an eye connection, you'll see a very different effect come out of this. You'll have an audience that's absolutely engaged and riveted and listening to you. Very different than just swinging your eyes around and looking at everyone being in your head, to as your eyes meet them, really feeling your heart, really feeling their heart, and sensing an energetic loop forming between the two hearts, a circular loop. And so I'm not going to go into that in any more detail than that. I just wanted to mention it. Those of you who are speaking in public, in groups, that's a really nice thing to play with. That as you make eye contact with each person, really sense your connection from their heart to your heart and from your heart to their heart. It's kind of like what you would do in a tantra class. Imagine I'm sure a lot of you have done some tantra. You know, when you're in a tantra class and you walk up to the man, you stand in front of him, you look into each other's eyes and you imagine the flow of energy between you. You can do that with an audience. It's not sexual energy, but it's heart energy. And if you're focusing on the flow of the heart energy between you and the people you're making eye contact with, you're going to see the whole tone completely shift. And I'd say that to Heidi. She's got an opportunity this week, Heidi and Jan, to practice this when you're making eye contact with people, even if you're not the one speaking, you're just staring, you know, welcoming people as they arrive or whatever. Practice that idea that as you're looking at them, as you're connecting with their eyes, imagine that the two hearts are connected and there's a flow of energy between you. You'll see it will create an incredibly powerful space. So the last thing I want to talk about in today's little short talk about managing the audience energetics is, as I said, we are going to go into some practices on this if necessary in the small groups. I say if necessary because the thing that's great about the group coaching is you're going to be in groups of three or four people and each group is going to have very different needs. So when I ran it last year, some groups wanted to focus really on public speaking. Some groups wanted to focus really on speaking your truth to your family members. Some groups wanted to focus on energy stuff like this. Some groups wanted to focus on channeling your, you know, from the higher realms. Some groups wanted to focus on body stuff. So, and it was always interesting that the groups formed with people with similar issues and similar interests. Some wanted to work on their fears. So we'll be doing different things with each group, and it'll totally be designed week by week according to what you need. That's the way I love to work. I don't have a strict roadmap or anything. I'm totally there each week with no plan, and I tune into what's coming up that week, what you need, and I create processes on the spot. And that's why it's powerful. It's totally 100% tailored to each group. So that's why I say, with some of you, we may look at this stuff if it's relevant for you, if you're interested in it. With other groups, there may be other things that are a bigger priority. So that's why I wanted to give you a bit of stuff about it today. So the last thing I want to talk about in this topic of managing the energy in an audience is I know because I've seen what some of you wrote when you first signed up for this course that there's sometimes a little bit of fear from those of us who are sensitive about standing up in public, and the fear is about the energies coming towards us from the audience. Like, you know, some of us have had experiences where you stood up on stage and you felt ridicule coming towards you, or you felt cynicism coming towards you, or you felt judgment coming towards you. And it can be very scary to stand up in front of audiences if that's been your experience in the past. And I know that I've had women do this course who are very sensitive to energy, and they say that they stand on stage and they can feel stuff being directed at them. So if that's your experience, I just want to speak to that for a moment. Firstly, I'll say that as you get better and better at and more familiar with speaking from your heart, not your head, what's going to start to happen when you stand up on stage or when you're speaking in front of small groups is that less and less people in the room will be in their head. Because when one person is powerfully in their heart, particularly if that is the person that's the center of attention, the person on stage everyone's looking at, it has the effect of dropping the people listening and watching into their hearts as well. And when people are in their hearts as well, they're much less likely to be cynical and judgmental and sending you bad vibes because they're not going to be in that space. They're not going to be in a judgmental space. So that's the first thing I'll say. The more experienced you get at speaking from your own truth and from your heart, you will be able to draw the audience with you to that place of non-judgment and just deep listening. And you'll even start to have skills to do a process at the start of the talk, to ask everyone to take a breath, drop into their heart. You know, you might find you even start intuitively doing some things like that at the start of your presentations. But let's say that you've done all of that and there's still a couple of people in the audience that are just sending you vibes. There are some strategies for what you can do. The one that I have taught people that they found incredibly helpful, and we're going to do this now. I'm going to invite you to close your eyes and just imagine that you're standing on stage right now. Or you're standing in front of a group of people. It doesn't have to be a literal stage, but you're standing in front of a group of people. It might be just 3 people, it might be 10 people, it might be 100 people, whatever you're comfortable with. Don't give yourself one that's too scary. Just pick a group size that you're fairly comfortable with. And now I want you to imagine that you're standing in a pillar of light. The pillar of light goes from the floor all the way up to the ceiling as high as you can see. And so from floor to ceiling, there's this pillar of white light, very powerful, beautiful, loving light, and you're standing completely enclosed in this pillar. So this stream of light streaming from your feet all the way up to the ceiling and all the way back down. And just feel that in this pillar there is only love, there's only light. It's a very pure, light, joyful energy. And your whole body is just bathed by this light that's in this pillar. Everything in there feels safe and joyful and loving. Notice the power that comes from feeling this connection all the way down to the ground through to the bottom of the pillar and this connection all the way up to the sky, up to the top of the pillar, and it's all just this big, tall, flowing pillar of light and love. Now I want you to imagine that there's one person in the audience. He's just sending you a bit of a yucky vibe. Maybe they're feeling a bit jealous of you or a bit cynical, or they think you're an idiot, or they're bored, or they really want to be somewhere else and they wish you would stop talking so they could leave. Whatever it is, just something, small bit of not so nice vibes coming towards you from this person. And so there's two things you could do. One thing you could do is imagine that comes towards you and it bounces off the pillar and just bounces off and has no impact on you. That's one way. Another way, which I feel is even more powerful, is to imagine that person's energy comes towards you, and as it hits the pillar, it actually enters the pillar of light and gets transmuted into light and love. So the pillar of light just absorbs all energy that comes towards it and transforms it into light and love. And in fact, it even radiates that light and love back out to that person once it's absorbed it. And then you start to feel that you're standing on stage and no matter what comes at you, it just gets absorbed and transformed into love. It doesn't even touch you, and that love gets sent back out to the audience. And as you go, over 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, the whole audience dynamic starts to change because all these people have been stuck in a yucky, negative place are now being transformed around you. But they're feeling that happen. They're feeling their energy get transformed and sent back to them in a new form. So energy in the whole room starts to lighten. Smiles start to appear on people's faces. The other people in the room who were sensing the negative vibes coming from that person, they start to be able to breathe more freely. Everyone in the room starts to relax. And all you've done is stay in your pillar of light. You don't have to do anything because the pillar of light's doing the work for you. You can just keep beaming to them all from your heart, sharing from your heart, and just knowing and trusting this pillar of light is doing this work for you. If anything comes towards you that's not light, not love, the pillar of light transforms it. And your only job is to stay in that pillar of light, keep your heart open, and keep sharing from your heart. And so having had that little visual taste of that process, you can take a nice deep breath in and then breathe out and open your eyes. I just wanted to take you through a very brief version of that process, and I really want to encourage some of you to play with that over the next few weeks. You find yourself about to sit down at the dinner table in front of your family, just briefly close your eyes, imagine the pillar of light running from the floor to the ceiling, imagine you're in the pillar of light. It's just a visual metaphor, but it's powerful. I've had people do this course who've used that very simple technique. They didn't even do the coaching and they didn't do the more advanced techniques. They just had this one technique and they had huge results from it. It just came to me one day when I was teaching a class. I hadn't planned to tell this. It just came to me, this technique, and it's just been incredibly helpful for people, and I've used it myself ever since. So I really want to encourage you to use that. But there's many, many, many other techniques you can use. But the point of that isn't the specific technique. Yes, that's a great technique, but the point underneath it that I'm wanting to make is that if you come from a place of empowerment rather than fear, you can turn any situation into a positive. So if you're coming from fear and you stand in front of an audience and you're fearful that people are going to contaminate your energy field or bring you down or infect the room with their vibe, you're coming from fear, you're setting barriers and force fields around yourself and protecting yourself, and that's coming from fear, that's hard work. It's hard work to maintain a force field. It's hard work to be constantly stressed. But if you come from empowerment, you walk in front of the audience and go, I'm totally comfortable managing energy. I know how to set up a pillar of light. I know how to notice what's happening in the room. I know how to do my many other techniques I've learned from Tani or other people. And I'm empowered around this. Bring it on, you know. This is just a chance for me to practice my use of energy, the flow of energy, managing energy. There's no fear in the equation. You'll find that you'll be able to turn things around very quickly. And you'll be able to, in fact, draw on that energy and transmute it and create some really powerful spaces in the room. So it's really all about your level of empowerment or your level of fear. So that's really what I'm wanting to, the point I'm wanting to make about this. See if you can find a way to come from empowerment rather than fear. So that's really all I want to say about the audience energetics at this point, because I want to go on to our process now that we're going to be doing for the rest of the session. Before I do, I just want to see if anything I've said today has triggered any thoughts for you or feelings or resonated with you particularly strongly, or you have any questions. So I've been talking about monitoring the energy in the room, pockets of energy. I've been talking about holding the space. I've been talking about transmuting energies coming towards you and coming from empowerment rather than fear. And I've talked about the energetic loop from heart to heart that happens as you make eye contact around the room. So if anyone's got anything to say about any of that, please press 1, because I'd really love for you, a couple of people to share, because I'm sure it's going to help ground and lock in the things I've been talking about. So I'm going to start with Denise. Go ahead.
Hi, Tani. Yeah, hi. I just had a thought that my fears before...
Maybe on mute.
Before, oh, sorry.
Hello?
No, it's not. Hello? 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 Oh, no.
Hey, Denise, go ahead.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
Okay. the thought I had was the fears that I've had before standing up before people. Maybe it's my expectation that I get that back too. which was something I thought I could probably think about before doing it. And if I don't have the accident, then maybe that won't be important to me as well.
Absolutely true. One thing I have learned is that we create our own reality by our expectations. So I'll give you an example from my own life. I used to assume that every time I saw a particular member of my family, they were going to yell at me and be angry. And I created that. And then one day I noticed I was having this constant expectation. So I went away and I did a whole ton of work about changing that. And I decided to assume that they were going to be in their highest self and in a state of love when I saw them. And do you know what happened? They were. And they pretty much have been ever since. So it's very powerful what we create, because when we're expecting something, then we brace ourselves in anticipation. Our opening words are anticipating it, so we kind of create it, we trigger it in them by what we say, by how we're holding our body. It's the same when we stand on stage. If we think everyone's going to hate us, we're going to hold our body in a particular way, we're going to speak in a more timid way, we're going to create a lot of our own outcomes. So that's an absolutely huge point. And if I haven't said that yet in the course, that's a massive one. So thank you so much, Denise, for bringing that up. That's really, 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 really crucial. And that's one of the reasons we look so much at our fears and getting out of our head early on in the course, because it's when we're in our head that we are running all sorts of expectations and beliefs. So that's a huge one. Thanks, Denise. I'm going to pass now to Lyndon. Go ahead, Lyndon. Oh, Lyndon's just dropped off. Well, that's a shame. Well, hopefully she'll come back on in a minute. Okay, I'm going to pass to Beth. Go ahead, Beth.
Hi, Tani. I was thinking when you were talking about how you had an audience where they seemed to not be responding and you realised afterwards they were, it reminded me of a time when I was teaching a class, an adult education class, and they seemed to disagree with everything I said, and we'd have I'd say something and they'd just jump on me and attack me about it, and this went on for a lot of time, and then eventually at the end of the class they'd say, oh, we agree with everything you say, and it took me a while to realise that when people seem to attack you or seem to disagree with you, they're actually processing and responding to what you say. So I found that really important to learn to be calmed down when people did sort of disagree with me and just to go with it, because that's just their way of taking it in. So there's so many different ways of looking at.
Yes, thank you for that one, Beth. That's a really brilliant one, because I'm an example of that. When I'm in a seminar, I will argue with everything because that's my way of learning. Like I have to come to things for myself. I don't take things on because someone tells me them. So if someone tells me something, I'll tend to chew over it out loud, until I decide if I agree with it or not. And, there's lots of people who process information that way, by taking it in, chewing over it, thrashing it around, looking at it from every side, arguing with it. But it's not because they don't agree with you, it's just because they're trying to come to their own truth. And so that's a really, really, really great point, Beth. You just don't know what's going on to other people. And usually if you think you do and you assume it and you take it personally, it's just your own projection. You'll find out later that it really had nothing to do with you, that's just their learning style, or they were just in a bad mood that day. It had nothing to do with you. It usually has nothing to do with you. So that's really, really, really helpful. Thank you, Beth. I've just seen that Lyndon is back on the call, so I'm going to pass to her because she had her hand up. Go ahead, Lyndon.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I'm listening on my iPhone, so of course when another call comes in, I drop off. I can't get back in again. So I just thought when you were talking about holding the space, like doing that preparation beforehand, and that's why all the the really big speakers always had their support team and their crews, the people who help out. But I'm also just sort of thinking that if you've done that, you've got someone who's, say it is the caterer, is that then the food is going to be prepared with love as well, so it just really adds to the whole event. Because even the person who's taking the money, I just think that that's a really powerful thing of actually having that right from the start, so that when you've got your team on side and they're coming from that space of love and heart, is that they're going to do their job better and it's going to be more rewarding for them as well. And I just think that's a it's a really powerful thing to remember to do.
Definitely. Thank you for that. That's a really good point. It does change the quality of everyone's actions that they're going to carry out for the whole weekend, usually, because they feel much more invested in the process and much more part of the process as a team, that they feel that they've helped create the space. You know, it's their space just as much as yours, and so they're going to act really in a high state of integrity for the whole weekend. So absolutely great point. I've seen a number of other people put their hands up, but I am going to just say that we really need to move on, so I'm hoping that I'll be able to call on you guys later on toward the end of the class today if you still got anything to share. But I want us to now move on because I really want us to take time over the next process because it's a very powerful one. So what we're going to be looking at now is speaking from a higher place. So far we've been playing with speaking from the heart, speaking from the head, connecting to our body. But you know, as you know, one of the things that I'm looking at in this course is really about allowing our higher intelligence to come through. And some people might think of this as channeling or bringing information through from the spirit world. Some people might think of this as bringing your own higher self through. Some people might think of this as drawing on the collective unconscious of the planet, all the people on the planet drawing the collective. Some people might think of just speaking from your own unconscious or your own subconscious, I should say. It really doesn't matter what you call it or the specifics of it. The point is it's about speaking from beyond your own human, little human brain. Speaking from beyond your personality, let's call it that. And that can mean channeling from higher beings or just speaking from your higher self or speaking from your subconscious or speaking from the collective consciousness. It doesn't matter, but it's beyond your own personality. When we speak from beyond our own personality, we bring through a totally different quality of information. I'm just noticing that Tarisha has pressed 5, so I'm actually just going to pause and check in with her because she might be having an issue. Tarisha, are you all right there?
I'm fine with my baby, sorry.
Hello?
Hello? Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, kind of. All right. I'm going to assume you're okay. May have just pressed it by accident. All right, I'm going to keep going. So, just check that I'm not on mute. You can all hear me. Yes, good. So, whether we're speaking from, some people might think of it as speaking from your intuition. Some people might think of it as speaking from your soul, on behalf of your soul. There are many different places we can speak from that are beyond our personality. And they are all subtly different. I've done processes where we've played with all different ones. But the bottom line is we want to have an experience of speaking from beyond our personality. Because, and one of the ways that you know that you're speaking from beyond your personality is that usually the words that come out of your mouth surprise you. So when we're speaking from our personality or from our little human brain, what comes out of our mouth tends to be stuff that we know, that our brain knows, that we've had in our own experiences. You know, it's like stuff we've said before or stories we've told before. When we get past our own personality and past our human brain and start drawing on something from beyond that place, whether it's from our intuition or from our higher self or from spirit guides or from the collective consciousness or from our intuition, it doesn't matter. The stuff that comes through is usually stuff that your little human brain doesn't know or hasn't had access to for a long time or is at a level that you don't normally draw on. And so it comes as a surprise. And for me, that's how I know that I'm speaking from beyond my personality. When the words that come out of my mouth surprise me. And usually also the quality of the information that comes through is at a higher level of wisdom. It's just at a higher vibration and you can feel it. The things that come out, you kind of go, whoa, where did that come from? Now, I'm sure all of you have had moments like that in your life. Some of you may channel information regularly. There may be some of you that just maybe you just have a memory of one day where you were talking to a friend or talking to your family and something incredibly wise came out of your mouth. You don't know where it came from. Some of you may consciously call on that. Some of you, it may be accidental that it happens every now and then. You just are in a certain state and something comes out of your mouth you think was really profound. Where did that come from? How amazing. So that's what I'm talking about. And I know that every single one of you on this call has had that experience because otherwise you wouldn't have been drawn to this course because this is where this course ends up. So people drawn to this course always are people who have already got pretty clear access to higher wisdom. It just may not be something that you're drawing on consciously. It just may be something happening occasionally or accidentally. But that's how you recognize it when it happens. And you'll feel that when those things come out of your mouth, there's normally a different reaction from the listener than when you're just talking from your own head or your own personality or your own personal experience. It's like people kind of, it's those moments where people kind of look at you and go, wow, that was profound. Where did that come from? You know, that's the kind of reaction you get if it just comes out in a casual conversation. If it comes out in a public forum, if you're consciously channeling or you're consciously coming from that space, then it can drop the group into a very sacred state. And other people in the group can start to access their own higher wisdom. So I used to run a group every fortnight all of the last few years. And we would all get into that state. We would all connect to our higher self. We would all connect to spirit guides. We would all connect to our soul beyond this human incarnation. And we would bring information through for each other. And it was a very, very sacred space. Now, I'm not suggesting that you all need to go that far, but just to be at the point where you can just be in conversation with people and access a higher level of wisdom, your own highest intelligence, is very powerful. And really, all that needs to happen is we have to get out of the way. The information's there. We all have an intuition. We all have a higher self. We all have a subconscious, and we all have a connection to the collective consciousness. Some of us have a very clear connection to spirit guides or God or whatever you believe in. You know, we all have these connections already. The only thing is that there's stuff getting in the way. There's blocks that we've put up. So really a lot of what this course has been about getting rid of the blocks, freeing up the blocks in the body, freeing up the blocks in the mind, the fears, the habits, the patterns that are interfering with our own higher intelligence coming through. So we're going to do a process now to actually just experience this and play with this. Just a short process, because we don't have huge amounts of time left, but I just want to give us a little bit of a taste of this. So what we're going to do is just do a very brief meditation, and I think I'm going to choose the higher self as something to practice with, because that's one that's fairly neutral for people, and I think it's fairly easy for the women in this call to access. So we're going to do an exercise in groups in a moment, but I'm going to just ask, actually I'm going to put you into your groups first so we don't have to mess around with that after we're in a nice higher state. So let me just do that now. Participants, I'm going to put you in groups of three. There'll be one group of four. Okay, I'll put you in groups of three. Let me just write down the groups. So we've got Lyndon, Maggio, and Marion, group one. Then we've got Denise, Maria, Tarisha, and group two. Then we've got Beth, Heather, Jacqueline, group three. And then we've got Mary, Heidi and Jan together again. How funny, Heidi, Jan, and Petra. Excellent. So if anyone drops off now, I know where to put you back into your groups. Okay, so with that all organized, let's go into this meditation. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm just going to do a short meditation, but it's going to be powerful. Pop your pens and papers down. And just sit somewhere nice and comfortable so you're not lying down, you're sitting up, but it's comfortable. And just start to notice your body, your connection with your feet through to the ground, through to the earth beneath the ground, the soil, heart of Mother Earth. Feel yourself really grounded through the floor, through the grass underneath, through the soil, all the way down to the heart of Mother Earth. Feel your connection down into the center of the earth through your feet. Feel your connection through your sitting bones to your chair, down into your legs, your knees, your ankles, your feet, and down into the heart of Mother Earth. And then feel your heart in the center of your chest and feel your connection from your heart down your spine, down to your sit bones, down to your through your legs to your knees, down into your ankles, into your feet, and through your feet down into the heart of Mother Earth. So there's a connection running from your heart all the way down into the heart of Mother Earth, to its earthiness, its love, its nourishing, its nutrition, its groundedness. And from this real seat of groundedness, now I'd like you to bring your attention back to your heart and just imagine yourself standing inside your heart space. Your heart space is large enough for you to stand inside it. And you can imagine your heart space looks however you like it to look. So maybe it's a landscape, maybe there's grass, maybe there's trees, maybe there's waterfalls. Pick a scene from nature that you really find beautiful and peaceful and effortless to imagine. And if you're not visual, just imagine the sounds of that scene, or just have a knowing that you're standing in your heart space in this beautiful environment in nature. Now imagine that standing in front of you is a really beautiful crystal elevator, kind of like the one in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. There's like a crystal elevator and the door opens and you walk inside the door. You stand inside this really beautiful crystal elevator. And you press a button and it starts to lift. And you start to rise up, up and up and up in the elevator. And you just feel it. The crystal that you're standing on just floats up and floats up. And you can see the environment around you receding. And it floats up and it floats up. And you start to get to be surrounded by clouds. And it floats up and it floats up. And you feel yourself pop outside of the envelope of Mother Earth, out of the atmosphere, and you're floating up and up and up and up into outer space, and suddenly you're surrounded by stars, and it's incredibly beautiful, and you're feeling very safe because this crystal elevator is full of love, and it's been beautifully designed, and it's been very strong. And it goes up and up and up and up, and you're all the way through the galaxies and out to the outer edges of this universe, and then you even pop outside this universe. You go so far high up until you reach this beautiful crystal platform. And once you get to that, the elevator comes to a gentle stop at this platform. And you just feel the sense of absolute lightness and expansion at this level of vibration that you've come up to. And you just take a moment to just stand in your beautiful crystal elevator at this platform that you've just risen up to, and you just breathe in this feeling of very light, pure vibration that you're in all the way outside the universe. Very fine, very light, very high vibration. There's no heaviness of matter like you normally would experience on Earth. You've left that all behind, and it's very, very light and pure vibration. And then you press a button and you step outside of the elevator and you come to standing on this crystal platform, and you see that on that platform is this very beautiful couch or chair or lounge chair, and you go and sit in that. And you're sitting on this crystal platform. You just close your eyes for a moment, breathing in this incredibly high, pure vibration that you're at. And then when you open your eyes again, you see that opposite you is another chair or another couch or another lounge chair, whatever you're imagining you're sitting in. And in front of you, you see your higher self. You come face to face with your higher self and notice what she looks like. And if you're a visual person, you may see a very clear image of her, what she looks like. Maybe she's human, not human. If you're not so visual, maybe you get a sense of just her energy, just a knowing that she's there. Or maybe you hear her. Or maybe she touches you, takes your hand, so you have a kinesthetic feeling of her. You don't have to see it in detail. It's really more about a knowing. And just open your heart to her, smile at her. Notice that she's smiling back. You're looking at each other so warmly. You have tears in your eyes, tears of joy, tears of recognition. Tears of sisterhood, tears of seeing yourself reflected back to you in all of your magnificence. Seeing yourself in your full magnificence. And then I want you to say hello to her and ask her if she has any words of wisdom for you in this moment. And just listen. It might be something very short, it might be something long, it might be something totally simple, or it might be something profound. And if you're not an auditory person, you might just get a knowing of what she said without actually hearing the words, or some of you might even hear some words. And then thank her, and now ask her permission. Say to her, I'm about to go back down to Earth to share with some women in this group, and I would love your permission to speak on your behalf. And just ask her if it's okay for you to come back down to Earth and speak on her behalf, to bring through some wisdom from her, from this being that is your higher self. And just get her permission for that. And then say thank you. And now just go over to her to say goodbye, and notice that as you're saying goodbye to her, she actually hands you a gift. She hands you an object as a gift. And just look down into your hands to see what she's given you. Just notice whatever it is without interpreting it too much. Just notice it. Take it with you and just take one last moment to look into her eyes or give her a hug and just reconnect with her and really say thank you. And then just wish her a farewell, knowing that you can come back up here any time you choose. You just go into your heart space, imagine the elevator, hop on the elevator, go all the way up until you reach this crystal platform, and you'll find her waiting on this chair or this couch. And you can have a conversation with her whenever you like. So knowing that, you wave goodbye and you step back into your crystal elevator. And you press the button and it starts to float back down. And you're just feeling this joy and this love in your heart and this gratitude for this experience you've had as you're floating down, feeling the vibration change as the elevator comes down and down through back into this universe of light and dark, and you start coming back down into the universe and back down into our galaxy, and surrounded by stars and planets and suns and moons, and coming back down until you see the outside of the Earth's atmosphere, and it's so beautiful and it's so blue, and you start to feel yourself entering the Earth's atmosphere, and you feel the density returning, coming back down through the sky and closer to the ground, and you see the ground and the elevator, the crystal elevator just alights gently onto the ground, and you feel this groundedness returning with relief, and you press a button and open the door of the crystal elevator and find yourself standing outside in this beautiful landscape, this beautiful environment of your heart space, and with a feeling of gratitude to your own heart space for giving you this experience. You pop back out and find yourself sitting in your seat again in May 2011 in your living room or your house, feeling your feet on the ground, feeling the weight of your sit bones, the weight of your arms, feeling your body really connected down through your feet into the earth, into the heart of Mother Earth, knowing that your body was there, rooted to the ground, connected and grounded through the whole of that journey. And now just very slowly start to open your eyes, bring yourself back into the room, wiggle your fingers, and welcome back. Thank you so much for going there with me. I'm going to give you time later on to debrief about that, but what I want to do is actually stay in this very calm, quiet, higher space and actually do some speaking from this space that you're all in now and see and witness what comes out. So you're all in groups of three. There's one group of four. And what we're going to do is I'm going to give the first speaker of each group a minute to speak. I'm going to give you a topic. You're not going to need to set an intention or plan or anything like that. You are simply going to call on that higher self who's given you permission, and you're going to speak on her behalf about this topic. And whatever comes out of your mouth will be fine. It may not even make sense to you. It may be at a level of wisdom that you don't normally speak at. It may sound strange. It may be a surprise to you. It may be words you don't normally use. That's okay. You're just going to bring through. You're going to speak on her behalf. And knowing that the people listening are also listening on behalf of their higher self. So everyone in the group is in a very different place than usual. So the first person in each group is going to be Lyndon, Denise, Beth, and Mary. So what I want you to do is just close your eyes for a moment, reconnect to that moment on the top of the crystal platform where you connected with your higher self, you smiled at her, you asked her permission to bring information through from her. Just really connect back to that. And now speaking on her behalf, I'd like you to share with the other two or three women in your group, and don't worry about microphones and everything, just start to speak. I'll be checking that I can hear all of you. So if there's a problem, I'll let you know, but just assume it's fine. Speaking on her behalf, I'd like you to speak for a minute about the topic of compassion. Well done, everybody. It's just a very short process, just to give you a chance to feel that, and as the listeners, to feel the difference when the information's coming through from a higher place. So now we're going to switch to the second person in each group, Maggio, Maria, Heather, and Heidi. And I want you to just take a moment to just connect, go back up to that crystal platform, go back to that moment where you looked into the eyes of your higher self and where you asked her permission to speak on her behalf, and know that you now have the chance to do that. And when you hear the bell ring, you're going to speak for a minute, or just approximately a minute, to the other women listening about the topic of laughter. Laughter. Well done, everybody. We're going to go with the third person now, which is Marion, Tarisha, Jacqueline, and Jan. And I really encourage you not to speak in the first person I from Marion, Tarisha, Jacqueline, and Jan, to really be speaking on behalf of your higher self. So if you say the word I, you're referring to your higher self, not to your human self. So you're not talking about your own human life, but you really are bringing through information from this higher self that you met. You're imagining that you're her, and you're speaking on her behalf. And just see what comes out of your mouth if you really come from that place. So I'm going to ask you to just go back up to that crystal platform and connect with her again. And really looking into her eyes and smiling and remembering that she's given you her permission to speak on her behalf. And now you're going to come back down to earth and you're going to open your mouth and you're going to speak for her what she would say right now about this topic. And your topic is sorrow. Sorrow. All right, everybody, well done. What we're going to do now is in the fourth group, Petra, you're going to have a chance to do this process. And I'll give you a topic in a moment, but I'm just going to tell the other three groups. I want you to start debriefing. So just take your time. You'll have a minute, and then when Petra's finished, the other group will join you in debriefing. I want you to take your time with each person to share what it was like for you to do the meditation, what it was like for you to speak, bringing through information from your higher self, even though it was only a minute, and also what it was like for the other women to hear that, to experience that wisdom coming from you. And once that person has fully debriefed, then we'll switch to the second person, sharing their experience of speaking, of doing the meditation, and the other people's response to listening. I don't want you to go into chit-chat about the course or your lives. Really just stick with debriefing about this process we just did. And now group four, you're going to have the chance to listen to Petra's higher self. So Petra, just take a moment to go back up to that crystal platform and just look into her eyes again. Smile at her and remember that she's given you permission to speak on her behalf. And now come back down to earth and you're going to share with the other three women what your higher self has to say about the topic of joy. Joy. Thank you so much, Petra. So now I'm just going to throw it open to group four to join in this debriefing. So each group now, you're going to have two or three more minutes to finish up. So make sure each person gets a chance to talk about how they found the meditation, how they found speaking from their higher self, and also to get some feedback from the others and what it was like for them listening to you speak from your higher self, if it felt different from previous times when you've all been speaking with each other. So go ahead. I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to talk about that with each other. Ladies, I'm going to give you one more minute, so if there's anyone else who hasn't had a chance to share their experience, let them have a go now. Okay, guys, just taking a few last seconds to wrap up your conversations. So we're coming toward the end of this class, and it is the final class of the course, and I wish we had a little bit more time, but I really wanted to do that process thoroughly with you. listening to everyone sharing in your little groups at the end, debriefing, I just want to point out that, you know, everyone is coming to this process from a different level of experience. For some of you, you've done this many times, it felt very familiar. There's others who maybe in that minute you really weren't connecting to your higher self, you were just grappling for that, and that's okay. Maybe you had a few seconds in there where you felt you were bringing something through from beyond your personality. This is very new for a lot of people. You know, just be kind with yourselves. The fact that you've done the meditation means you have connected with your higher self. You were all given a gift. I'll invite you to really go away after the call and think about what that gift was, what it symbolizes. Maybe you want to get in touch with the other women on the Facebook group and share with each other about the gifts that you were all given and what you learned from your higher self. And I really want to encourage you to practice this. In the small groups, in the coaching groups, we're going to be doing a lot more practice around speaking from the higher self. That's one of the things we did a lot last year. Women seem to want to really get more comfortable with that. So if that's something that your group wants to look at, we will do it. If it's not, then we'll do other stuff. But each group's going to be different. But that was one thing that was common to all the groups last year. So just trust that if you want to go further with this, there's an opportunity to. So I'm going to be sending you an email probably tomorrow with the recording from today, but it's also going to have information about the group coaching, which will be in groups of 3 or 4, which is going to be done by video, which is really exciting. I haven't done it by video before. It's not going to start next week. It's going to start in 2 weeks' time. I think it's the week that starts the 30th of May. So we have a couple of weeks off, which means you get to go and integrate a lot of this and practice a lot of this in the real world. And you probably start to find you're starting to have questions. There's going to be situations coming up that we didn't get a chance to talk about in these 6 weeks, and you want to go into in more detail. That's what's going to inform what we do each week, because you'll be out there in the world, interfacing with the world, noticing what comes up when you try and speak from your heart, noticing what happens when you try and speak from your higher self, trying to practice managing energy. Things are going to come up, and we're going to have 8 weeks for 1 hour each week where we meet in our group of 4 and just share what's been happening and do processes and practice and increase our levels of trust and increase our levels of skill in all the things we've been learning. And it usually happens that things come up in our lives over that 8 weeks which really accelerate this process. So that's what happens when people sign up. So I'm going to send you the information about that. I'll also be sending you information about the Feldy lessons that I promised. Those 10 lessons are really cheap price. I'll do a special thing on PayPal just for you guys. I'll organize that today, and I'll include that in the email. And I will also include a feedback form because I'd love to hear from you how you found the course and any suggestions for it. I just really want to express my thanks for all of you. I'm so glad we had time to do this process about the higher self today. I really want to thank you all for coming so far with me. We've done some very intensive processes. I know they were short, 1 or 2 minutes, 3 or 4 or 5 minutes each, but each one has given you a chance to experience something new that you may never have experienced before, and once it's in your nervous system, it's in there. We can build on it over the next 8 weeks, but what you've done is already in your system. The glimpses you've had of what it's like to speak from your heart, what it's like to be free in your body, what it's like to be grounded and centered, what it's like to listen deeply, what it's like to be coming from your higher self, what it's like to even connect to your higher self. Those are all now in your nervous system. You can draw on them, you can build on them. So that's why I put so many processes into the course. So I really just want to take the last 10 minutes to go around the circle, check in with everyone, hear what it's been like for you doing this course, what you've learned, how far you've come. At the end, I'll probably ask you if you're comfortable if I use any of what you said to tell other women about this course, what's helpful about it. Maybe I'll get my assistant to type up what you've written and put it up as a testimonial, or maybe I'll use the audio recordings. But I'll let you know at the end that if you're not comfortable with anything you shared being shown to other women, then just you'll be able to just let me know. After you hear what you said, maybe you say some personal stuff, you can always just let me know, and then I'll make sure that your one is not included. So I'm only going to share things that I have permission to share. I really want this to be a safe space for you to speak honestly. So say whatever you feel and know at the end you can tell me, hey, you know what, I shared stuff that was really personal. Please don't put that on your testimonials page, or please don't share that with other women. Or you may find you said some stuff that you're really excited came out of your mouth and you'd love that to be told to other women because it will inspire them to do this kind of work. I'm not sure yet when I'm going to run this course again or if I will, but if I do, I really find it helpful to be able to share with potential women who may want to go down this journey, who may not even know that it's possible to speak from your heart or that it's possible to connect deeply to your audience, that it's possible to speak from your feminine, not your masculine. I want to give them a chance to really hear a group of women who are speaking from their heart. And so at the end of the course last year, I actually recorded this process where everyone shared at the end. And I did keep it as a sample of what it's like to hear women speaking from their heart, because you don't get that many chances to hear that. So I'm quite excited to do that again with you guys. So I'm going to go around the circle and just ask you each to share, you know, how you found the course, what you've learned, the shifts that have happened. Some of them you're probably already aware of. Some might come to you as you speak because you're in a very connected place. So don't plan it. Just see what comes out. Even if all you say is, hey, guys, it's been great meeting you. Thanks so much. That's fine. Don't plan it in advance. We really want to practice seeing what comes out of your mouth and know that if you're not comfortable with what comes out, you know, I won't share it with people. So I'm just going to call on you in the order that you're on my screen. And I'm just going to ask you all to be fairly brief, maybe keep it under a minute because we want to try and finish on time. So we're going to start with Lyndon. She's on the top of the list. Go ahead.
Well, I must admit that one of the things that really wooed me over to this course when it first popped up on my Facebook page was listening to those women, because just the serenity that came from their mouth was just beautiful. And I'm very happy and proud that I've done it, and I'm glad that it popped into my life at this time. I'm loving, or have loved all that, being able to practice it, getting to know all these amazing women on the course as well, and I'm looking forward to living my passion of being an international speaker and coming from the heart. So thank you. It's been an amazing journey. And speaking to my higher self, or from my higher self before, was very, very profound. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Lyndon, for sharing that. I really appreciate your honesty. I'm going to now pass the mic to Maggio. Go ahead, Maggio.
So for me, I think I mentioned before that aiming from my heart, writing from my heart was very familiar. And I have done some channeling, but I realized that the creativity that comes out from the spontaneous heart space is so expansive and so different. And it really made me excited about what the next step is. I'm going to be doing a 5-day residency in New Mexico. And on this call, I realized that it can't be run with a facilitator. I can't be the facilitator. I have to co-facilitate everybody in the group and have them all speaking from their heart. I think it's maybe, you know, it's the new model. It's what we're heading for with a different kind of leadership. But so I'm very excited about this work and very interested in how it will evolve for us individually and for you as a teacher.
Thank you so much, Maggio. I can't wait to hear how that goes, that new form of facilitating. I absolutely agree with you. That's what's being asked of us at this time on the planet. So beautiful. I'm so glad you're going to get out and do that. It's great. Go ahead. Who will you have next? Marion. Go ahead, Marion.
Okay, this has been just a terrific experience. I never even had heard of speaking from the heart. I have found this to be so liberating. It's allowed me to be more of myself, express myself more to people that I don't know, and just really and truly from the heart. So it's more authentic, and it's just allowing me to fully be me, and it's made a big difference in my life, the way I'm interacting with new people. It's just been wonderful, and I look forward to the next step as well. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Marion. I love hearing you all speak so clearly. Are you noticing people listening how everyone speaks just effortlessly? There's no pausing, umming, stumbling, because when we're speaking from our heart, we don't need to plan. The words just come out smoothly. It's so lovely to hear. I just love it. Okay, go ahead. Maria, you have the mic.
Thank you. I really have loved the training. It's been so wonderful. But in particular, I have to say today when you shared about the concept of the pillar of light, and you know how you can transform anything that's coming at you into love and sending love out and connecting with the higher self. Honestly, is two of the most perfect processes I've ever been through. So thank you so much. I've enjoyed it, but today was just so outstanding.
Thanks, Maria. It's really an honor for me to have a group of women that allows me to go there. I don't always go to that level with people when I teach, but I could just feel with this group that, yeah, we can really do some really profound work today. So thank you so much, all of you, for going there with me. So I'm going to pass to Denise now. Go ahead.
Hi, Tani. The biggest thing for me I've realized is that I've transformed like the image I've had of myself. I can be creative, channel, make my essences, do all those things with me in my own space. But my big block was on trying to share that outside of my space. And now that I've transformed how I see myself doing that, it's going to be so much easier. So thank you so much.
Beautiful. I'm getting tears in my eyes listening to you all. It's so powerful. Okay, Tarisha, go ahead.
Oh, hi. For me, I kind of knew all this stuff, and I did it in different places. And now, just reminding myself and kind of integrating it all together, it took me kind of on a different level, and tonight I have a talk in front of a group of men, and I'm very excited about today's call because it was very important for me. And the thing about the white light, I knew it before, but I would only use it by myself, and for me it really now taking it out and being like that in front of other people, and this is like, you kind of gave me permission to be like that in front of other people and connect to people from my heart rather than just connecting from my heart to my spirit. And this is very powerful for me.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Tarisha. That's a huge point. Some of us really have got very skilled at connecting from ourselves to the spirit world. But to then connect from ourselves to the rest of the world is another step. And I'm so excited for you that you're going to try that tonight with this group of men. I'm really excited. Make sure you let us know how it goes on the Facebook group or send me an email or something. I'm really excited. And that goes for all of you who have things coming up in the next couple of weeks, like Heidi and everything. Just post on the Facebook groups. Everyone's really going to want to hear how it's been going for you. And if you're not on the Facebook group, send me an email. At least let me know, because I think, you know, we all want to support each other as we go out into the world with this stuff. It's really important. So I'm going to pass to Beth now. Go ahead, Beth.
Hi, Tani. This has been a really powerful course. Every week there's just been something that's enabled a big shift or things that I've been sort of working through for years to sort of come together. I can remember quite a few years ago when I realised I needed to change my writing practice, and because I was just getting so much pain when I was doing it, and I thought I need a Feldenkrais of writing, and I feel that what you've offered is like a Feldenkrais of speaking and just awareness and the whole, there's so many things in it, and also that you're just such a brilliant model of what you're teaching. So I think so much of what I've learned is just watching you, the way you do it, so thank you.
Well, thank you, Beth. Well, that's really, you know, for me, I find it very hard to trust teachers who don't walk their talk and don't embody what they speak. So that's, I really take that on, what you said. That's a huge compliment for me. I really want to be a model of what I'm teaching. Otherwise, it's not authentic. So thank you so much for that. Okay, I'm going to pass to Jacqueline now. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, Tani. I just got a little bit interrupted because I had someone at my door in the... Sorry, I had
to... So just take a moment. I'll come back to you, Jacqueline, so you can have a moment.
Yeah, I may have to sign something. Sorry. Thanks.
That's all right. This is what happens with telecall, because the postman turns up in the middle of a call. That happened to me a few weeks ago when I was teaching. The postman called. Okay, I'm going to pass now to Heather. Go ahead, Heather.
Hi. This course was the first step for me in deciding to improve my self-esteem and confidence, and It arrived at a time of probably letting go of some of the sorrows that I've experienced and making a decision to walk forward. And so it's all very, very new. It's like a bit of a baby step. But what I am noticing is that I'm having really big shifts really quickly. In 6 weeks, I've managed to be online with a group of amazing women and made some connections that have been very heartfelt and very timely, and it's enabled me to trust in the space of open-heartedness that life is good. There really isn't anything to fear, especially when you're coming from an open heart and you don't have an agenda and you're in the flow. And that's a revelation to me. So thank you, Tani, and thank you, everyone. And I can't wait for the rest of my life.
Thanks so much, Heather. And, you know, I have to say, what I have been stunned at every time I've run this course is how far people come in 6 weeks. And I woke up one day and I realized it was nothing to do with me or what I was teaching. It's because people who sign up for this course are at a particular vibration where they're absolutely ready for transformation. All I have to do is offer the space and they set the intention, and then the spirit teams come in and the whole thing happens and things get orchestrated in people's lives to bring the lessons thick and fast over the 6 weeks, and it continues in the 8 weeks as well. And, you know, because if it was just me and what I'm teaching each week, I don't think people would be having such big shifts. You know, I'm not teaching that much stuff each week. You know, it's really about the content combined with the quality of women who are drawn to this, the intentions that they're coming in with, the level of resonance that I'm holding, the level of resonance you're all holding, and that creates a container for very fast transformation. And I've seen it every time I run this course, so it's really interesting to hear Heather say that. It always takes me by surprise. So I'm going to pass now to Mary. Go ahead, Mary.
Hi, everyone. Mary here. I felt very moved, actually, by what Heather just said, and it sort of resonated with me that the emotional impact of the course. I wasn't really expecting the level, I guess, of emotional and spiritual, and even the physical, the exercises that we did. So that was, but they were all quite powerful. I think the most powerful lesson for me was the setting the intention. And I set an intention with the communication with my children to communicate with them in a more loving manner. And that's where I've noticed the biggest difference in the 6 weeks, that they used to think I was interrogating them, even though I thought I was just interested in what they were up to. So I think that's been the most powerful shift for me, and but I can see lots of other shifts, and I'm just amazed at the amount of shifts in some of the other participants. So thank you, Tani. You have provided a fantastic course for us all, and thank you, everyone, for participating.
Thanks so much, Mary, and how wonderful to shift the dynamic with the children, because, my goodness, imagine the world they're going to grow up in now, and they feel really heard. So that's just beautiful. I'm so excited. Okay, Heidi, go ahead.
Well, yes, thank you. This is the first time I've heard a lot of the group speak, and I had been hoping throughout the course that I would hear more of this kind of sharing that's happening right now. I really, really like this. And the change, I would say, for me, it's kind of like you've helped me tune up skills that I already had and processes that I already use, but you brought to it your own genius and your own experience with it, and helped me look at these things from another angle. And I really, really treasure that and feel that having this 6 weeks of conversation just before this retreat has done a world of good for me, just to help me relax and get into the mode that I really want to be in, and which somehow you know, no matter how stressed out before these events I tend to get, I always drop into it eventually in the middle of the retreats, but I feel like I'm definitely approaching this one with more, just more of the right stuff. So I really appreciate this, and I wish the course was longer. I wish that we had more time to share generally with each other, because I feel like there's probably a depth, a richness that we could arrive at with more time. But it is what it is, and I'm thankful for what it is. And I love you, and I love all of you. Big hugs.
Thanks so much, Heidi. And that's the main reason why I always continue with the coaching groups, if possible, if I'm in the country, because in the coaching groups we get to go much longer and much greater depth, and we really get to hear each other, and we're going to do it by video, so we'll be able to really connect very deeply. So I do agree with you. I wish the course could be longer, but I feel that setting it up as an introduction gives people a choice that if they want to go deeper and further, they can. So thank you so much for those comments. I really appreciate them. I'm going to pass to Jan and then Jacqueline, and then we're going to sign off. Those of you who can stay on and keep listening and support the other women who are sharing, that's wonderful. But I understand that we have reached our time, so if you do need to go, that's okay. So I'm going to pass to Jan. Go ahead, Jan.
Hello, everyone. I think for me, what I feel the most is that it's like a door has opened within me, and I can walk through that door and speak more from my heart. As Heidi mentioned, we have a retreat coming up here, and in the past, I would be like losing sleep at this point, worrying about what I was going to say, and I actually feel like I'm going to enjoy this retreat. I'm going to enjoy speaking with people, and I really appreciate the exercises and the information that have come through this group. What I'm going to take with me most, though, and what I value most, is the shared intention of this group. It is just heartwarming and heart-strengthening to know that there are women around the world who are wanting to speak more from the heart, because I think that is what is going to change our world for the better. And I'm very, very grateful for that. Thank you, everyone.
Completely agree with that last statement. Thank you so much, Dan. That is absolutely what's going to change the world. Imagine a world where everyone spoke like this. It's quite amazing. I love that idea. Okay, we're going to finish with Jacqueline. Go ahead, Jacqueline. You have the mic.
Thanks, Tani. Sorry about that interruption earlier. It's weird that it happened to be when you called on me. I got so much out of this course from speaking from the heart, from being more in my body and noticing more about how I hold my body and how I do things with my body, to being more expressive, to becoming more creative with business ideas, to speaking with people about their creative ideas. And today was just amazing with this higher self thing. I got so much out of that. I was just bawling my eyes out. And when you had me speak on sorrow through here, that was just so relevant to me, because I've had a lot of losses this year, particularly this year. There's been a huge family bust up, and it just seems like a never-ending struggle, always something to worry about. And through this course, I found that by focusing on my heart and being able to focus more on what brings me joy, the things that maybe may have caused me quite profound pain before have still caused me pain, but I've been able to shift out of that and go to places where I can feel good about what I'm doing and not listen to what other people say or their advice or things that they think I should do. Just I can listen to my own intuition. And now that I've got this access to my higher self and I'm able to ask these questions of her, she gave me a gift, and I didn't hear her say anything when we asked her a question. I did have a question, but I think I was too invested in the answer. So she gave me a gift, and it was a rolled up piece of parchment. And I know that I can open that up and get the answer when I'm actually ready and I'm not so attached to the outcome. So thank you so much, and I'm really looking forward to the coaching groups. Like everyone else, I'm really enjoying hearing everybody speak and making these connections, and really looking forward to practicing what I've learned, because I haven't really done any speaking yet, but there are opportunities there in the pipeline that are starting to become clear. So I'm really looking forward to sharing my experiences with everybody and hearing everybody else's experiences. Thank you.
Thanks, Jacqueline. Oh, my God, I've got tears in my eyes. You're all so beautiful. I love hearing so many women speak from their heart. Yeah, some of you know that I run a women's vision circle, and we go around the circle like this for about 2 hours sharing visions, and it's so heart-centered and it's beautiful. And I was just thinking, gosh, I'm inspired to run one of those again. I haven't done it for about 3 months, so maybe we'll do one of those sometime in the next few months as well. So there are going to be opportunities for us all to connect again. So hopefully we'll see some of you in the coaching groups. For those of you who aren't joining us in that, stay connected through the Facebook group. I will be running a Women's Vision Circle later in the year, which is always a chance to practice speaking from the heart and connecting from a higher place and setting a collective intention. So in whatever form we meet again, I really look forward to seeing you all again. I thank you so much for the heart and the intention and the clarity and the commitment that you've brought to this course. It's been an absolute joy for me. And I've just absolutely loved it. And I've been felt so honored and blessed to work with each of you. I really have. So thank you so much. I'll send you out all that information I promised sometime the next day or so. And have a beautiful, beautiful week. And I'll speak to you all soon. Okay. I'm going to put you all on unmute so that you can all say goodbye to each other. See you, everybody. Bye.